Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Good afternoon and good evening, and welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 70 countries, such as the United States, the United Kingdom, all across Europe, Africa, Asia, all the way to New Zealand and Australia. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network Tuesday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us Tuesday through Friday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, right there on Facebook, and interact with the guests that I bring on the show. You can also subscribe to Life Transformation Radio wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts, whether it be iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Google Play Music app, the Himalaya app, wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts, please subscribe to Life Transformation Radio. And if you will, if you're willing, leave us a rating and review on how we're doing and how you enjoy the show. On the show, I bring on entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, amazing people who are elevating the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on the show during our live broadcast, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number to call us up, 657-383-1109. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I ever bring on the show during our live broadcast at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday through Friday. And with that, please help me welcome to the show my guest today, Tim Scher. Tim, welcome to Life Transformation Radio.
Thank you, Sean. I'm so excited to be here with you and to be with all your listeners.
Man, I am super pumped to have you on the show. As I was researching you and going through your materials, I'm like, man, this guy is, he's just done it right. You know, I'm enthralled. I'm, you know, emotionally connected now. You know, I'm like, man, I can't wait for the show. You know, and you've done that masterfully through the videos, through the content, your speaking, the way that you know, I mean, you're a great orator, and, you know, I'm excited to dig in more to what you have to offer.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. That's a big compliment coming from you. So I'm really excited to be here and to share what I've learned on my journey of empowering people and showing people how to use the power of their mind to create their life by design. So let's jump in.
Love it, man. So the title of this episode is Get Out of Your Way with award-winning, mesmerizing leadership speaker, Tim Scher. After 30 years of studying human behavior and facilitating over 15,000 hypnotic success coaching sessions, Tim Scher discovered the secrets to programming your unconscious mind for mesmerizing success. His Scher success strategies work so well. He's been featured on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, and on the TEDx stage. Tim is president of Scher Success Seminars and founder of Indie Hypnosis Centers. He is an award-winning, mesmerizing leadership speaker and trainer, a specialist in building high-performance teams, and the author of several books, including Get Out of Your Way, The Power of Optimism, Losing Weight Without Losing Your Mind, and Sales Mastery. Go to Tim Scher, S-H-U-R-R, timscher.com/book, and get the Get Out of Your Way book. I promise you, it is worth it. It's worth its weight in gold. I promise you. Go to timshurr.com/book and get the Get Out of Your Way book. Connect with him on Facebook. Connect with him on LinkedIn. He is absolutely incredible at what he does. So, Tim, after reading all that, I got to know, man, what is your why? What is your deep, deep why for what you do?
So, plain and simple, my biggest why is I want to help end needless suffering. In life, you're going to have pain. Yeah, you're going to have pain. And, no matter what you do, you're going to have struggles. It's what shapes us. You know, diamonds are not forged by being run through feathers. It's only through tremendous pressure over a long period of time that we can emerge sparkly and valuable and so strong we can cut through steel and cut through those obstacles in life. But suffering, so much of the suffering that we experience is self-imposed, the self-sabotage, the limiting fears, the deepest fear that somehow in some way I'm not enough. And because I'm not enough, I won't be loved. And all the things that we go through, all the emotional armor, all the defense mechanisms that come up, all the maladaptive coping strategies that just, you know, we get into this horrible habit of trying to avoid pain by doing things that create more pain. And nobody's doing it on purpose, but we are doing it. And often we don't even recognize it. It's our blind spot. And so, you know, from my own struggles with insecurity and fear and not feeling good enough, I've learned how to overcome that. And then I started helping thousands of other people to, you know, just one at a time, learn how to tap into that power that's inside of all of us and learn how to go from a game of playing not to lose and shifting into a game of playing to win. Because when you play not to lose, you know, you can't help but lose. And even if you're winning inside, you still feel like you're losing. And so learning how to play to win and how to move from an away from pain strategy into creating more love and more joy and doing all the things that you talk about, Sean, with creating gratitude and mindfulness and all the things that we talk about, because in some ways the truth is the truth. And so we all have our different flavor and way of experiencing it and sharing it. But that's what I wanted
right.
to do. So that's my goal. Whether I'm working with companies or I'm working with individuals or I'm working with children, I had a 6-year-old kid in my private office today. You know, whoever it is, my goal is to help them to alleviate needless suffering and learn how to feel more love towards ourselves so that we can feel more confidence, more respect, and more love towards others.
Yeah, I love that. And it's a great why and a great reason why, you know, I do what I do, you do what you do. And why people are attracted and want to work with guys like us. You know, one story that I always keep in the back of my mind when we're talking about exactly what you said about mindset and success and abundance and everything is that there's two farmers, both of them prayed for rain, but only one got the rain because he cultivated his field. The other one just waited for it. And so there's something to be said about taking action, and there's also something to be said about having the mindset of that it's going to happen. And I never really believed that. I was like, no, you have to take action. Like, if you take action, it'll happen. Like, you can't just think stuff up and just manifest it, and all of a sudden it becomes, you know. And the more I do this show and the more people, you know, that I have conversations with about mindset, one thing is for sure, they didn't only take action, but they believed that it was going to happen. They took action because they knew that it was possible. And, you know, whether it be the right action that they took or they got lucky or whatever, it's the fact that they believed and their mindset said, I'm not giving up. I will make it happen no matter what. And I think that that's something very, very powerful that differentiates between the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's funny, the law of synchronicity, where it seems like random yeah. things happen and fall into place, but it doesn't seem so random anymore, because I was always skeptical and analytical. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I want to believe that, but I'm still skeptical, and prove it to me, right? I've always had that kind of a prove it mindset. And it's been proven, you know, God has been like, I'm going to keep proving it and proving it. So last night I'm telling my son, one of my, I have two boys. I was telling one of my boys that exact story about the two farmers preparing the field. Right. And so and
no
the first
way.
Story out of you. Yeah. And the first story, I'm just sitting here laughing, trying not to interrupt your talking. Cause I'm like, of course, that's how we're going to start. But that's exactly right.
My
you know,
gosh.
So the law of attraction, the law of attraction and all that stuff is really, you know, it's you imagine what you want, right? So that so that you can feel that it's possible, and then you take action. One of the main reasons why you imagine things going the way that you want is because it creates the feelings inside that are going to cause you to act, right? So often it's the emotions that you're feeling that are really drawing what you want to you and causing you to move towards them. A lot of times we think it's just visualizing goals, but it's not. Because a lot of times people will say, I don't get it. I'm using all the positive thinking. I'm focusing on what I want, but it's not working. It's not happening. And I'm like, well, how do you feel about it when you think about your goals? And then they get tight, right? And then they swallow hard. And then they say, well, you know, I want to believe, but I really secretly feel like I'm lying to myself and it's not really going to happen. And that feeling, you know, that masks the real belief. It's the real belief that gets reflected back to you, not your fake positive thinking, right? And so that's what messes so many people up. They're like, you know, I don't know if, you know, if this is working or I'm not sure if this is, you know, if the law of attraction is really real. Well, you know, because I've been thinking about these things and trying to fake my way through. But it's really, you know, you don't see the world as it is. You see the world as you are. And if you secretly are feeling like it's a bunch of crap and it's not really going to happen, then that's what's going to get reflected back.
That's what you attract too. You know, they always say like attracts like, and negativity attracts negativity, and, you know, back and forth. And so, you know, I always believe that it's going to happen. You know, not only do I believe that it's going to happen, but I always ask myself, I'm like, well, why not? Like, why wouldn't it happen? You know, I've got all the systems. I've got all the strategies. I've got all the skills. I've got the knowledge. I've got the know-how. I've got the energy. Like, I'm a nice guy. Like, why wouldn't it happen? You know, like, and I was just coaching somebody yesterday, and I said, you know, you were having these negative thoughts, and he was saying things like, man, I don't know. And I mean, I want to believe that, you know, but I don't know. And I'm trying to work on that. And like, I want it to happen. You know, I was like, well, then believe that it will. He's like, well, yeah, but I mean, like, I want it to happen, but I don't know if it's going to happen. And I'm really worried that it's not going to happen. And I was like, you need to believe that it's going to happen. Act like it already happened. Right. Taking the steps necessary to get closer to that. You're attracting it. You're in abundance with it. Right. And I told him, I said, you need to figure out and gather all of the evidence of why you believe this way. Like, do you believe it will or do you not believe it will? Well, I don't believe it's going to happen. Okay. Do you have any evidence to prove this thought? If you don't have any evidence to prove that thought, then you need to attack that thought. If you have evidence to prove that it won't happen, then you need to attack that evidence and turn the evidence around to make sure that the evidence proves that it will happen. So either you attack the thought or you attack the evidence. That was my coaching to him.
Yeah, that's good. So here's another tool as well. So because you can go after the fear, which is what you're suggesting, go after it and, you know, stand in your power, take a stand. Another way of doing it, too, is I always like to think of who do I have to become in order to have this actually happen? Right. Who do I have to become?
Oh, wow.
So it's not so much because for me, I would get into that trap, too. Right. And then I'd be like, well, do you have any evidence that it's not going to work? And then I'd be like, yeah, I got like 5 years of evidence, you know, and then it would dig me a deeper hole. And so I'm like, all right, so I've got to get away from that with the questions. Right. The quality of your life is being determined by the quality of your thinking, and the quality of your thinking is being determined by the questions that you ask yourself all day long. And so just get better at asking better questions. And so I started asking, who do I have to become, you know, and if I went through this journey to become the person that I was meant to be and these other goals didn't work out, would I still feel happy and fulfilled because I was living an intentional life. And I was like, well, yeah. You know, I mean, if I'm intentionally going after my dreams and I'm doing it my way and I'm learning and growing along the way and having all these experiences and learning how to be grateful in the moment and how to enjoy the present and how to, you know, create all this opportunity and seize the day and watch for the clues to show up and act on them. If I'm doing all of this, then I'm living my purpose. I'm enjoying life in the moment. I'm not saying I'll be happy when, you know, if I play the I'll be happy when, and then you're never happy.
Yeah. Yeah. I love, oh my gosh. I love that. Love it. As I'm listening to you, I'm thinking of how beautiful the world is. You know, when you're talking about the moments, my speaker coach, John Vroman, is always talking about the moments, like the moment to moment, you know, and he always talks about how nothing else matters in life, but the moments that take your breath away. That is what matters, because it's usually around loved ones. It's the beauty and excellence in nature. It's the moments that we created, you know, like if you think of Make-A-Wish Foundation and the moments that they've created with the Make-A-Wish or the moments that are created, you know, in the Stanley Cup playoffs or the Super Bowl or the World Series, you know, it could be any sports championship game, you know. When you're a kid, are you a sports fan?
I'm always working, so I don't watch a lot of sports. However, I own like every sports motivation movie that they've ever made.
I love it. I love it. Well, when we were kids, like I played Little League and I played hockey and, you know, football and all that stuff. Literally, when you're a kid, right, and let's say you're pitching and, you know, you're playing baseball, whatever, and we always are like, bottom of the ninth, two outs, runners on first and third, you know, like bases loaded. Like we're always like stacking the deck. Like how amazing is it, right? Even if you're not a sports fan, how amazing is it when either the pitcher throws that curve and the guy swings, miss, strike three, out, game, or he's bottom of the ninth, two outs, bases load, like the deck is stacked. Your best hitter is up to bat, right? You strike him out, or the best hitter knocks it out of the park. And it's like, oh my God, the crowd goes wild. He knocks it out. Like those are the moments, you know, that are created that we get to take part in. And some people choose to live life not in the moment, just outside the moment, looking in like that can never happen for me. And I used to live like that, you know, 18, 19, all the way to like 23. I was like, everybody else is having success and it's just not in my cards. Like, I just can't be that way. I'm not a successful person because I'm just, you know, middle class, you know, like I never thought that greatness could be for me because it's not how I was raised. I was raised middle class, poor, you know, alcohol dominated domestic violence household. But it wasn't until I started thinking big that my life started playing big, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's powerful stuff, right? So I'm listening to you and we have all those big, exciting moments, you know, with sports and things like that. But some of my best moments were just sitting outside, you know, watching a sunset or talking with my son, you know, and saying something and then watching him laugh. You know, last night I was just being goofy and these songs were coming on and I just started dancing around the living room and my oldest son who's 15, he just busted out laughing and it was, you know, and it was awesome. Right. You know, we're in there and we're just kind of like belly laughing, you know, because I'm acting goofy showing, you know, my moves used to be cool, but now they're just silly. Yeah. And so he's laughing so hard and we're all laughing and we're just having so much fun. And in that moment, it didn't matter, you know, if I was having something stressful at work, it didn't matter what was in my bank account. It didn't matter what, you know, my next tax bill was going to be. It didn't matter, you know, what deadline I had going on or how many emails I hadn't checked yet. You know, none of that mattered because I was in the present, you know, having that moment. And the more you focus on those moments and how can I create them a lot of times we're sitting around waiting for them to come to us. And you have to create it. You can't have it unless you give it, right? So if you want more love, right, you got to be more loving. If you want more opportunity, yep, then you've got to create more opportunities. If you want more fun, you got to bring the fun. And, you know, yep, a lot of times people will say, well, I don't know how. Well, that's not an excuse, because we have the great Oracle called the Google, right? And you can just type in 50 ways to have more fun, and it's literally right there, right? And you don't even have to, yep, type it anymore if you have a Siri or Alexis, right? And so right, there's no excuse for it. So what you got to do, there was something Dr. Phil said a long time ago. He said, you got to name it so you can claim it, right? And so figure out,
right,
yeah, so what feelings do I want to experience more of? What feelings? Because we as human beings get addicted to the same five emotional states, and we just recycle, yep, through them every single day. And so if we, yep, can expand and just Google a list of emotions and then say, today I might want to feel jubilation, right? Tomorrow I'm going to be in a state of curiosity. The following day I'm going to be in a state of ecstasy. I mean, there's lots of things you can do, right? Today I'm going to be joyful. Today I'm going to be mindful. Today I'm going to be peaceful, right? Or flirtatious. I mean, there's so many different emotions that you can tap into. Yeah. So decide, what do you actually, if you had more money, if you had that perfect relationship, if you lost that 50 pounds, if you are on that stage, what feelings would you, do you think you'll be having? And then how can I start to have those feelings now? Can I have an amen, yeah, brother Sean?
that amen, brother. That was, man, so good. Well, let's walk it back. So I want to dig into that, what you just said, man. Let's walk it back. Were you, okay, always this way, or did it take work? What was that transformational moment that changed your life and put you on the path to what you're doing today?
So, great question. The answer is no, I was definitely not always this way. So, so there's a couple pivotal things that come to mind. So when I was 12 years old, I lived in a town in northern Indiana. And my dad worked at U.S. Steel. He was an electrician at the steel mill. And my mom was at the grocery store. The phone rang. I picked it up. And I hear this woman on the other end calling from the mill. And she's like, honey, where's your mom? There's been an accident. So my dad was working on a big electrical panel. If you've ever seen a steel mill, they're pretty scary places. And so while he was in there,
oh,
with,
yeah,
the screwdriver, mm-hmm, and his buddy Bill was in there with the flashlight, someone turned the box on. It didn't get tagged right. And someone turned the box on instead of checking to make sure everybody was safe. And the box exploded. And it caught my dad and,
wow,
Bill on fire. Yeah, it burned him pretty bad. I didn't see my dad again for a couple of months. He was in Loyola burn unit. And when you're a kid going into a burn unit to see your dad, it's pretty horrible.
That's scary.
You know, I still remember the screams. Yeah. And then they wheel him out and he doesn't look like my dad. He looks like a mummy. He's all wrapped up. And, you know, I moved in with my grandparents, and it was a very traumatic experience. And that was when that shift occurred in my brain. I was always kind of a nervous, hyper kid anyway, but mm-hmm, but I just had this fear that the next bad thing could happen at any time. And I ended up having really horrible anxiety, which, of course, when you are riddled with fear, you just attract more things to be, mm-hmm, afraid of. So then I attract bullies, mm-hmm, and I was afraid of trying things, and I was afraid I wasn't going to get picked for the team. And, you know, I mean, it just went on and on. And so that really kind of shattered my self-esteem. And I tried to figure out, all right, how am I going to feel like I'm good enough? How am I going to get love? And so I started being like the class clown. And I remember I got in fourth grade, I got a SWAT because I wouldn't stop talking. You know, I actually got punished for, you know, for not being able to keep my mouth shut, but it was worth, I'd rather get hit by a board by a grown man than lose any kind of connection or approval from other people. And
wow.
So, yeah, it was pretty rough. And so I get out of school and high school, and I decide I want to go into psychology and maybe figure myself out and figure out how to have a little bit more inner peace. And so, like, my first year in, I'm going to Indiana University. I'm taking my class on psychology. I think it was P102. So it was the second introductory, mm-hmm, class. And they would have some guest speakers come in. And one of them was a hypnotist. And he asked for a volunteer, and I was like, yeah, I'll look like a chicken, which made everybody laugh, right? And so I sat down, and I remember closing my eyes, and I felt really peaceful, and I hear all the giggling and everything. And then it happened, and it's what changed my life. I realized in that moment that I had total peace. I mean, that knot that I walked around with was gone. Now, eventually it came back because I was good at doing anxiety, right? But it was just like in the moment it was gone, and I could hear other people around me, but I didn't care what they thought of me because in that moment I wasn't judging me. If you're afraid that people are judging you, it's because you're secretly judging yourself. And when you stop judging yourself, you don't care what other people think, right?
Oh my
or
God,
you judge yourself in a loving way. Yeah. And then you just assume that they're judging you in a loving way as well. We have so much power and we just don't realize it. And so,
that you're not going to ever please everybody. Like you literally cannot please everybody. And you only please those that matter, you know, spouses, kids, you know, like as long as you please the ones that really deeply matter, you know, that's what got me over that was just pleasing the ones that, you know, somebody said, if you want to be famous, you must first be famous at home. Mm. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. Famous or infamous. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's important because it's hard. You know, most motivational speakers that I know, especially the top ones, are divorced. You know, it's entrepreneurs and people that want to be the star, you know, or it's hard. It's really hard to keep up all of that stuff. And so to try to be famous at home. And when we say even pleasing our spouse or our kids, that doesn't mean that we sacrifice ourselves or throw ourselves under the bus. What it means is that we develop emotional maturity so that we're able to actually be there for them in the way that they most need it. And that requires leadership, self-leadership. And restraint and emotional maturity. And that's something that you're not born with. It's something you have to develop and work at. And then you get better at it. And then it changes everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. You know, I know, like you said, quite a few people that, you know, they're divorced. I'm like, shoosh. But then there's a couple of the role models and mentors that I have in my life that they're happy to turn down, you know, a 10K gig because, you know, the wife had planned something already, you know, and he's like, nah, I can't do it. Or let me talk to the wife. Let me see what we have going on. Or, you know, what's great for me is that my wife and kids come with me. So I was speaking in New York back in April and my wife and kids came with me. And what was even more exciting was my wife and I had already been to New York City, but the kids haven't. So we kind of already knew like the places to go and stuff. So my wife was like, we have to go to the big toy store that Tom Hanks and the movie Big, like it was all featured with the, you know, piano floor, whatever. But it was my daughter's fifth birthday. And so she went to Times Square. She rode in a horse carriage. She got to feed a horse.
That's awesome.
We did a big open top bus ride, anything that was like, what are we doing? And, you know, we let her choose the kids and my wife was like, I want to do this. And so it was like such an amazing moment, you know, but I got to speak there. I got paid. It funded the trip so my family could come. Like what's greater than that? You know, maybe not during the week because of school, but on the weekends. And I really try hard to get booked on the weekends. You know, so that my family can come with me. And I'm like, man, where are we going? Like, where are we going? Where are we going here? And so I'm like, hey, I got booked here. And one of them was like, Minneapolis. And they're like, Minneapolis? Like, what's in Minneapolis? Like, oh, the Mall of America. Like, I'm going. I'm like, yeah, okay, got it. So Mall of America, they want to go. You know, I was like,
yeah.
But there's some places they're like, no, Daddy, you have fun. I don't want to go there. Like, you have fun. I'm like,
sure. Right. Well, and the Mall of America sounds like, okay, it's a mall. But when you go there, it's an experience. I mean, they got a little roller coaster inside the mall. I mean, it's pretty insane.
Yep. Oh, yeah. So we've never been to Minneapolis, so we're looking forward to that, you know, next month. And it's just a testament that, you know, if I take a gig, it's like, can I take my family with me? You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes people say, well, how can that guy justify a 20K speaker fee? It's like, well, it's 3 days. He's got to travel. He's away from his wife and kids. Like, there's more to it than just delivering 20K worth of information. Like, you're away from your family. There's travel
right.
involved.
It's, yes.
Like, it's everything. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, you're not selling time when you're a speaker. You're selling an outcome, right? So you're selling the value of
right.
what you're providing.
Yep.
You're not selling time or an hour or a day or whatever. So, but yeah, one of the best memories I ever have is doing a keynote in Daytona Beach. And it was in this huge conference room, and it was mostly windows looking out over the ocean. And I was giving the talk. And while I was giving the talk, I could see out the window and I saw my wife and two boys. They were smaller at the time, and they were building a sandcastle by the water. And I could see him doing it while I was talking. And I like almost burst out crying. I was so happy.
On stage?
You know, I mean, oh yeah. Cause it was amazing, right? Just to, yeah, yeah. Just I got, and of course it amped up my energy and
yeah.
everybody loved it. Right. Because then I was just like fully energized and excited and present, and it was really good. So, yeah. And I pointed it out to him, you know, I'm like, God, I can see my wife and stuff. And I do that because I'm not trying to act like a perfect polished person. What I'm trying to be is authentic and really connect with whoever's in front of me. And so talking about stuff in real time, I know speakers who have, they know where their hand movement's going to be at 3 minutes and 12 seconds. Right. I mean, they've got it down so much. My brain does not work that way.
Yeah.
So,
I either.
But yeah, so if we circle back for a second, so I learned the, you know, I had that experience
yep.
with hypnosis, and then I finished my degrees, got my master's and had opened a small hypnosis practice while I was working towards my doctorate, and was getting just sensational results because I was able to, instead of using all the cognitive behavioral therapy and the traditional approaches, I was able to go right into somebody's unconscious mind, figure out what the belief was that was holding everything back, and then upgrade it at the core level. And then that created this domino effect where it kind of, we knocked over the big domino and all these other things started to improve as a result. Because sometimes people will come to me, and I'm sure they come to you, and they've got a whole grocery list of problems that they have and issues that are coming up because of those problems. And so being able to shift that, I thought, this is amazing. And so I ended up having a choice to make. I could continue down, you know, the road of getting my PhD and working in hospitals and going down that route, or I could go full-fledged into the unknown, right? Into what Robert Frost, you know, he says, take the road less traveled
yep.
and it'll make all
yep.
the difference. And that's what I did. And it was scary. I mean, my first year, I think I saw three people, you know, and so people will see, you know, what I'm doing now and all that stuff. And they're like, well, you're lucky, or you were just born this way, or you have, no, I didn't have any of this stuff. And so, you know, I just kept holding on to my dream and trying to take charge of whatever was in front of me. And I didn't have much of a work ethic then, but over time, I mean, I get more done in a day than most people get done in a week and sometimes a month.
Right.
And so I've evolved, right? Constantly prioritizing a massive ability to handle uncertainty and the unknown and make changes on the fly and keep charging forward, and there is no failure, there's just feedback. And, you know, and so after swimming around in people's unconscious minds for the last couple of decades now, working with tens of thousands of people from all over the world, every culture, every personality, I found that there are certain beliefs, certain strategies, certain ways of using your mind, which I know you know as well, that will either
yep.
move you forward or hold you back. And so now my mission is to share what I've learned. I mean, there's so much great information. I share it the way I do. You share it the way that you do. And and together, you know, we just bring more light into this world that just seems, you know, so dark right now. And how to get rid of this toxic environment and how to catch people doing things right and how to build more trust and how to learn how to assume the best in one another and be more respectful in our disagreements and all the stuff that we're lacking right now. We just don't have enough role models. And so it has to be a grassroots movement. And so that's what fuels my fire.
I love it, man. So what I want to highlight is that there is so much information out there. There's information overload, you know, and there's ways to stand out, and I deliver my way, you deliver your way. And I just want to direct people's attention that when you connect with Tim, the way that he delivers, and if you've ever seen this guy's highlight reel, I think that out of any of the speakers, mine, my mentors, out of anybody's, you have one of the best highlight reels that have been put together that I've seen out of any speaker. I was enthralled. I was emotional about it. I was like, man, that guy's having fun. Like, I want to be there. And, you know, some people deliver stiff, some people deliver energetically. And, you know, for those speakers that are listening right now, if you want to look at a highlight reel and see what a highlight reel is supposed to look like, go watch Tim's highlight reel. It is absolutely amazing. And I love everything about it.
Wow. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was a lot of fun making that. And of course I, you know, hired somebody. Actually, I did hire somebody. You know, you got anybody in this business that knows how, you know, that are trying to, look exciting and impressive so that people hire you, because you're always trying to put your best foot forward. You know, you're going to hire lots of different people and a lot of them aren't going to work out, and you're going to spend a lot of money that doesn't feel like, or that feels like it was wasted, but it's all taking you to the next step. You know, you have to do it. It's all making you stronger. You know, it's like taking a sword and sticking it in the fire and heating it up. And then you pull the sword out and then you bang it with the hammer, and then you shove that sword back in the fire, and then you pull it out, and then you bang it with a hammer again. And mm-hmm. We are the sword. We're not the fire, and we're not the hammer. We're the sword, you know, and we keep getting, you know, reshaped and stronger. And you just keep building that sword up so strong that it cuts through obstacles. Right. And that's, we are the sword. And so as you go through that, you know, I was taking clips. It took a long time to be able to just get the clips and get the right clips. Some of my best performances were in front of companies that weren't recording, you know, and it didn't get captured. And so, you know, we all have those stories, right? Or it was your best performance and they videoed it and then they realized the mic wasn't on. You know, everybody has those stories and it's like, no. So lots of stuff like that. But that's okay. You just keep collecting and collecting until you get something that you're proud of. And then, you know, I can't live on that speaker reel forever, no matter how good it is. So you just got to keep going. So if I inspire somebody, that's great. And then, of course, I'll see somebody's speaker reel and I'll go, oh, my gosh, theirs is so good. You know, mine is horrible. And then I'm like, you know what? It's great. It's great for right now. It's great where I'm at right now. So, But I appreciate the compliment.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you're absolutely welcome. So what do we do? We're trying to build a business. We're trying to get our message out there. We want it to happen. We're not sure if it's going to happen. You know, is it a tactic? Is it a strategy? Man, like, I'm spending so much time and money trying to get booked to speak, and I'm trying to get my message out there, and I'm trying to build this business, and I'm trying to write this book, but man, I'm getting frustrated. Tim, what do we do? What do we do?
So that is a powerful question, and I'm glad you asked, because I've said the same thing, right? And so I think we all have, right? And even the best speakers out there, you know, if you're not staying fresh or relevant, you know, then, you know, you might be crushing it, and then all of a sudden you see a 20-something, you know, a young millennial or a Generation Z all of a sudden who's 19 years old, who's out there on the scene just, you know, making it happen. And you're like, how do I even compete? And what's a Snapchat, right? And so so this is what I come back to. You know, I have a quote that I use all the time. I say, the more value you bring, the more valuable you become. And so I come back to, am I making it about me trying to feel special, or am I making it about, you know, bringing value? And when I make it about me and trying to figure out how I'm going to be a millionaire and how I'm going to do this and that, then all the pressure comes on. And I make it about my performance, and then I just feel like nothing's working, and then I come across desperate, or I speed up too fast and do a whole bunch of stuff that is kind of a waste of time, and then I'm back where I started, but just tired, right? And so, or you know, broke now because I spent everything. And and that's when you've got to stop and say, wait a second, that was a learning, okay? So there was value in it. I had a guy tell me the other day, he says, I wasted so much time, I'm such a moron. I'm like, you're not a moron. You had to go through that experience to understand where you're at right now. You know, you have to go through it. We don't know what we don't know, and you had to go through it. And now you're aware. Now you get a second chance. If you do the exact same thing this time, yeah, you're a moron. but that's not going to happen, right? Because you have the learning, and the pain allows you to keep the wisdom. That's why we have pain, and pain is useful. But suffering is not, right? We don't need the suffering. So then I redirect my focus on where can I add value? And then the rest is prioritizing. Okay, so where can I add the most value right now? Should I go back and connect and go speak at a couple nonprofits in town or at a couple of groups? And a lot of times if you've had success, it makes you a little arrogant. So you're like, well, I'm above that. But that, be careful with that, because you need to be serving and not making it about serving your ego. Right. And so I know plenty of people. I mean, Tony Robbins will talk about how he still will go to classes. It's a little harder because everybody wants to, you know, hang out with him. But he says he'll still go to classes and still hire people to teach him because he knows he doesn't know it all. And even Tony, you know, was getting hit a little bit, a few weeks ago. And the taller the tree, the harder the wind blows, right? So,
jeez, man.
So if people like Tony can
kill him.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what we do a lot of times. And if he messed up a little bit, then, you know, people are going to have a balancing. You know, life does seem to balance. If you get a little too tall, it'll bring you back down, right? And if you're having a really hard time, you're going to get a break too. You know, life does seem to balance. And so start to look at where can I add value? Who can I reach out to? Another thing that a lot of speakers do is we get lost behind our laptop, right? So instead of having conversations, connecting with people, we're spending too much time on emails and trying to figure out the next video to make, the next article to write, how we're going to prove our worth, you know, instead of actually having conversations. That's why I'm with you having this conversation now, Sean, because I would have done that too. I've been lost behind laptops sometimes for years, you know, and not even realize it. One good tool that I use is I'll get a piece of paper and I'll write down, where do I spend my time? Like this week, where have I spent all of my time? And I literally write down everything that I'm doing as best I can. And, you know, I'll have a big piece of paper because I do a lot of stuff. And then I try to summarize it, categorize it, right? How much time am I spending on this versus that, right? On emails versus networking versus filling out applications to speak versus writing articles. And so, and then what I do is, I group it. And my goal was to spend 80% of my time connecting with people. And when I wrote everything down and I looked at it, I was spending 20% of my time connecting with people and 80% of my time doing stuff on my laptop. Even though you would think that it was obvious that that was the case, in my mind, it wasn't. I was staying busy and productive, and I thought, this is what you're supposed to do. And so once I recognized that, then I was like, okay, I need to do it different. I need to make sure that I'm connecting with people, that I'm having conversations with people, that I'm making an impact, because that's how it starts to fall into place. I don't know about you, but almost every booking I've ever gotten was because somebody saw me speaking somewhere else. It didn't come from my fancy website.
Right. Now it's becoming like that. But the first couple years, 3 years, not so much. You know, you speak a lot. You get a lot of no's. I just got booked in Augusta, Georgia. Never been to Augusta. I heard it's magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to going down there in November, so it's not like super hot. But they saw me speak in Virginia at an event, a leadership event. And so I got an email, and this was back months ago. This is months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got an email last Thursday, Friday, right before the weekend. Hey, saw you in Virginia. Not sure you remember us, but we talked about how we hold events as well. And we just wanted to reach out and see if you were available in November.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. So the whole patience thing is a mindset all in itself. because they'll say, hey, would love to book you, but we'll get back to you. And you're like, well, when? That's me tomorrow, next week? Like, when are we doing this thing? You know, it had been 3-4 months, right? 3 or 4 months by the time that I actually got an email back. And then even if I signed the contract now in June, it's July, August, September, October, November. I mean, I got 5 months before that event. A lot can happen in between that event. So what I've noticed is that it's a lot of patience and enjoying those moments like you talked about, enjoying those little moments, you know, in between, because when we're at the airport, when we're on the road, when we're up in front of the room, when we're laying in the hotel room at night, like exhausted, just because it's a lot of energy that that leaves your body.
Yes.
You know, these are the moments that we're going to sit back and go, man, I remember that one time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And another bit of advice too, is make sure you develop some, you know, multiple streams of income, because speaking gigs, you know, the top people, if you played in the NFL or you have a best-selling book and people, you know, you have a platform that's extensive, you're going to be, you know, booked a lot. But even the pros, you know, have those lulls and it quiets down. And if you don't have something to fall back on, then, you know, then you can get in trouble. Or, you know, we've had a 9/11, we've had a 2008, you know, we've had lots of shifts where people went from doing live conventions to doing it over the internet. And so, so when you're doing that, you know, there's shifts. So when you're not speaking, then you're working on your book. If you're not working on your book, then you're doing local groups or programs. If you're not doing that, you're doing webinars. If you're not doing that, you're teaming up with other speakers and putting on some kind of online event or training and just building your list, right? So there's lots of other things that you can be doing. Just make sure that it's all focused on the same thing. Because another big mistake we make when we're entrepreneurs is that we go too many directions at once and we have too many irons in the fire. And we've got a whole bunch of 1 foot holes. And so we've been digging and we're like, no gold there. So we dig, no gold there. So we dig. And, you know, and at the end of the day, we've got a whole yard full of 1 foot holes and we haven't done anything and we're tired and we're dirty and, you know, and just exhausted. So pick one hole, maybe two, and dig down deep until you hit that gold.
Oh, I love that. A bunch of 1 foot holes. I love that. I've got six streams of income right now. The podcast, you know, the radio show, that's one based on sponsorships, advertising, you know, different things there. Speaking, of course, I've got my book, which, you know, my book isn't real. I mean, after the bestseller phase, it's not like people are rushing to the store to get my book, but it's there and sell a couple copies or, you know, a couple copies a month or so, you know. Then I have a speaker strategy guide that shows people how to get booked. That's a really common thing I sell a lot of. I got that. I've got the coaching and training and things that I do for that. And then the mastermind, you know, so there's six streams of income, you know, programs, products and services and things that I have out. So, you know, I wanted to be the guy that's like, no. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just going to be a speaker and I'm just going to get booked to speak. And then like a year and a half in, I'm like, so tell me about this online course I can create again. You know, like it's been 3 months since I've been booked. What's happening? You know, I'm in demand. Like, even last month in May, I had 4 events in 1 month that has never happened before. And in June, one. What happened? I was so in demand.
Well, so. And that's so common because we get these ideas in our head that are unrealistic, but that's very common. You know, it's common because there's a lot of people out there that are speaking. There's so many slots, you know, there are a lot of opportunities though. And if your passion is educating, then you're going to keep reaching out because you feel like you have this message and it needs to be heard. And then, and that gives you the opportunity because there's a lot of speakers out there, but only 10% of them are really working full time, you know, and, you know, your top, or maybe your top 20%, you know, are working. And then there's 20% that they're not really a speaker. They just say it. And then there's a whole group in between that will maybe get one a year. And that's because they are struggling so much with self-doubt or just not knowing what to do. And so, but the top 20%, they're not doing anything, you know, they're not any more special or anything else. It's just that they keep going for it. You know, they keep reaching out or making a phone call or saying hello or connecting or adding that value and getting out there. You know, if you can't be a keynote, do a breakout session, right? If they won't pay you, do it for free. You know, there's a lot of ways to get out there. I mean, I've had a lot of free events that made me a lot of money, you know, where I would go and just do it pro bono and then sell a bunch of stuff in the back of the room or get booked for some more talks. And so, you know, you just got to be passionate and be excited about it and just keep believing and keep asking yourself that question of who do I need to become to be a world-class speaker and what kind of value do I want to bring to this world?
Right. Yeah, there's been a couple. I can name a couple just off the top of my head that I was a breakout speaker. And here's something I always do. I'm a breakout speaker and, you know, I'm there all day or at least a majority of it, you know. And I introduce myself to the event host like the day prior, yeah, because we're all getting there and there's always either a networking or somebody's there or whatever still setting up. So I want to see what's going on. I just introduce them and say, hey, I'm the breakout session, or, you know, we've had these conversations back and forth. And I say, hey, if a keynote speaker doesn't show, I'd love the opportunity to fill in, you know, in case someone doesn't show, or if a breakout session speaker doesn't show, I can do two different sessions. You know, just let me know how I can serve and, you know, whatever you need from me. And there was one time where they were like, hey, this guy's not coming now. So I'm like, oh, I got it. No problem. Like, I'm good to go. And so because I had done that, they knew, they're like, oh, I have, you know, this guy said that he would fill in and, you know, whatever. So it looked like I was just, you know, ready to go and, you know, and, you know, like it was meant to happen. And so there's a lot of different things that you could do. Like, don't count the breakout sessions. I've gotten booked out of events only as a breakout session speaker, as a free speaker. I've gotten two coaching clients and somebody booked me to speak out of that breakout session because I did really well. And so it doesn't matter if you're keynote, main stage, 3,000 people, 30 people, 5 people. It doesn't matter. Do the best that you can do with excellence, and then they will see your true colors, and then they will book you because you did the best that you could do and they were impressed and, you know, what have you.
That's outstanding advice, Sean. I mean, that's a great story. It's very inspiring, you know, showing up and not only showing up as a giver, but planting those seeds, right? Putting those seeds in there so that, you know, every once in a while it's going to hit and it's pretty awesome. And then, boy, the reputation that you have because you literally saved the day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's huge. You know, it, as you were talking, you know, I have one company that I did a free, I didn't get paid, a breakout session for a SHRM conference. And 6 years ago, and I got a company that I've been working with ever since. They've paid me hundreds of thousands of dollars over those years and from a free event, right? And I'm still with
them. Awesome.
In fact, we just booked another talk in early July, right? And so, you know, it's awesome. Just from a free breakout event. Yeah. And so we don't discount that. We go, oh, my gosh, there's a chance to serve. There's an audience of people that I get to empower, you know, and that's exciting. And that's what it's all about. Not, well, I don't know if they could afford me, you know, oh God, I want to throw up in my mouth. You know, that's about ego and we don't need that. Now I can understand 100%. If you're at a certain level and you got to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I've had to do that before and it's uncomfortable, but you know, if you're at a certain place or schedule or something, you know, and then that's one thing, but the spirit should always be there, right? There's guys that men and women out there that no matter how successful they are, they're gonna, like, I had reached out on a whim, you know, a few months ago to the CEO of Red Lobster. I just saw him on LinkedIn and I shot him a personal message and he replied back. And for, you know, a couple of months, him and I were just going back and forth, you know, talking about, I was like, hey, I just went to your restaurant. He saw your new menu and your new appetizers and stuff. You know, he's like, yeah, what'd you think? You know, and we were just kind of going back and forth because he took the time and, you know, to go out there and, or just to reach out. And he certainly didn't have to, but he did. And I think that that's what, you know, a characteristic of a mesmerizing leader and a mesmerizing person is they never take themselves too serious. They never believe your own hype. And, you know, and make sure that you treat everybody with respect.
Yep, 100%. I was speaking at PodFest, you know, because I have the show, and I know the guys that are going to be there, and I'm like, oh my God, I want to speak there like so bad, because Pat Flynn and John Lee Dumas, like all the big stars, you know, in podcasting, like, oh my gosh, I got to share the stage with these guys. But I got just a little, you know, breakout session, you know, a little small something, you know, I was like, okay, you know, I'm still going to speak there, you know. Well, because I didn't say, oh, well, if I can't be on the main stage with Pat Flynn, I'm not going. Well, no, I went, had a great time. And the person who was in my breakout session is actually a podcaster for Spartan Up, which then led to I'm on the media team for the World Championship Spartan Race in Lake Tahoe in September. They want podcasters on their media team. And so I'm going out to Lake Tahoe to be on the media team to cover the Spartan Race World Championships, where it's like, you know, 15 different countries will be represented.
Wow.
Thousands of racers. I'm like, what? Like, this is crazy. You know, and so live your life by saying yes and figuring it out rather than saying no, unless you absolutely have to, you know, just live your life by saying yes and figuring it out. And that's a mindset all in itself.
I love that. Yeah, I'm writing that one down. I'm gonna quote you on that.
Say yes and figure it out. So here's what I want to do. We got about 4 minutes left of the show. Here's what I want to do. I want to shamelessly plug your programs, products, services, and where people can find you. So shamelessly plug away your book, friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, whatever it is that you want the audience to know and to do. Go.
So I think the best place to start is get a copy of my book, Get Out of Your Way, How to Eliminate Self-Sabotage and Train Your Brain for Success. I tried to think of the longest subtitle possible, but that book is, it's 20 years of me studying what makes us successful at an emotional level. So if you have trouble with procrastination or low confidence, or, you know, you just feel like some invisible force is holding you back, that book will really help you change that and upgrade what's going on and teach you tools and things that you have not heard of before with the pop psychology stuff that's out there. This is real world, high end consulting tools and techniques in that book, and you'll love it for $18. I mean, geez. So go to timshure.com/book. I also have a podcast. I've got to get Sean on here to be a part of my podcast. It's called How to Be Mesmerizing. And so you can go to mesmerizingpodcast.com and subscribe there. And I interview a lot of amazing people like Sean eventually, and then also take you on deep dives into what drives us and how to literally use the power of your mind to create your life by design. And then, of course, you can go to my website, timshure.com, and I've got lots of links and resources for how we can hang out on social media. And if you ever need some help or some support or something that I can do to help you succeed, then just reach out, say hello, make sure you mention this podcast. And, you know, once I know that you're a listener of Sean's, then I'll move you to the top of my list for people to reach back out to.
So I just subscribed to your show. So I listen to podcasts on the Google Play Music app because I'm an Android user, and everything's just all on one app. So I just subscribed to How to Be Mesmerizing with Tim Schur on the Google Play Music app. So I'm looking forward to get in, because I'm looking at some of these titles, man. I'm like, holy crap, man. how mesmerizing leaders in the U.S. and abroad think. I'm like, that'd be super cool. How to get more done in less time. The destructive force of self-pity. Like, I'm going to start going through some of these things and check it out. But yeah, man, would love to be a guest on the show. Tim, this has been absolutely phenomenal. I feel like we could talk forever, but we got to wrap it up. So thank you so much for being an amazing, amazing guest on Life Transformation Radio.
Oh, it was my pleasure. You made it really easy. You're an amazing interviewer, and thank you to you, and thank you to all the listeners that are on this podcast hanging out with Sean and me, because if it wasn't for you, then, you know, I guess Sean and I would just be having a really good time. So, but to know that that you're with us just makes it even sweeter. So thanks, everybody, and remember to make your life a sure success.
Outstanding. Life Transformation Radio listeners, an amazing guest elevating the world around him. If anything resonated with you, please connect with Tim at Tim Schur, S-H-U-R-R, timschur.com. Connect with Facebook. Connect with him on LinkedIn. So as I close, I always say live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.